A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS-certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Way. Take the mic.
He's returned to YouTube. All the freeloaders are getting their fill of Wei Ting. Back here as we are about to dive into 2 hours and 36 minutes of Raw.
I'm back, everybody. Said it behind the paywall, but first things I want to say is a huge thank you to everybody who helped out over these past 3 weeks. I, in many ways, am one of the luckiest people in the world, not just personally, but professionally, having such a great roster of people to be able to allow me this privilege, but especially you, John. So in front of the entire world, thank you very much for the past 3 weeks.
Oh, you're too kind.
And thank you for making this graphic, by the way, with me right next to Io Sky and Roxanne Perez. Lovely.
Well, there you have it. I mean,
I did not write the descriptions for these shows. Okay. I did not write the schedule for this. I did not promote myself, my return with any sort of fanfare, but John Pollock, decided, you know, the promoter that he is, that this was something worthy of the graphic. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I was, I couldn't license, you two. So I just went with, the graphic.
Thank you. Right.
We do want to alert everybody that, May has begun and the Post Wrestling Cafe, may we indulge you in some of our offerings this coming month. It all begins this Thursday. We're going to sit down, we're going to grill Wei Ting for a special edition of Talk, as Wei is going to tell us about the miracle of life and now being a father of count 'em two. How has his life changed? I'm going to ask all the hard-hitting questions. Okay, this is going to be
I have a lot of questions for you as somebody who's already been doing this for several years. How do you juggle two human beings, two lives,
while
also watching and talking about as much wrestling as you do? So the questions will be more so for me, asking you for tips.
Well, that's coming up on Thursday, and it's so important. We're going to get together for this one at a location to be determined.
It's the only show John and I do in person.
Mm-hmm.
Talk. Yeah, really.
Yes, this was one that was actually requested by my significant other to do in person, because
really?
We have stuff to give you. So,
oh, how lovely. I look forward to that.
I said I might see him this week.
It's interesting because it's the only show we do in person, yet we never recorded on video.
It's really hard to audio. Do video in person, I find. It's it's a bit tougher.
But it kind of changes the mood too. So like, I love the fact that we just like sit down like over coffee or whatever and just talk.
Well, that's the name of the game. That's coming out on Thursday. Other highlights this month: we're going to be doing several editions of Rewind Away. We've already dropped the first one this month, which was a look back at WrestleMania 32 with Davey Portman, who attended this show at AT&T Stadium, and of course joining him by his side, the one and only Braden Harrington. We spent a good amount of time, nearly 3 hours, chatting about this event from 2016 that I have no desire to turn back the clock and relive, but we did for you, the cafe patrons out there. Also coming up later this week, we're going to have a Thunderbolts review with WH Park and Rich Fan. With it seemed like this one has gotten some positive reviews for the Marvel enthusiasts out there.
I'm actually off to watch it tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it. Are you planning on watching this one? This is pretty well reviewed.
I was not planning to watch this, but I have heard some very good things, and this has now been upgraded to quite maybe.
Quite maybe. Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah,
I was looking at the movie list. There's not a whole lot out right now, so this is if I was going to see a movie, this would top the list. So maybe I will rely on your feedback on this movie if it's worth it. Well, the first thing I looked at was the length, and that already 2 hours 6 minutes, very very manageable.
You can't 2x at a movie theater.
I know. You know that. I know. So I pick my spots now.
Okay. Right.
You go above 220, see ya. Wait for it on streaming. Other Rewindaways this month, we're going to be doing a review of the September 2003 episode of SmackDown featuring Brock Lesnar against Kurt Angle in their Iron Man match. And I looked this up because if you are outside of the U.S., the Netflix archives are a bit of a mess. It's just a total hodgepodge. This one is up there, so you can find this from September of 2003. And then at the end of the month, we're doing a special Patrons Pick edition. We're going to throw out a few options, and you will get to vote on it on the Post Wrestling Cafe. We will review whatever you tell us to.
Yeah, sometimes our executive patrons like simply aren't responsive, or they just like don't have time to pick, and that's totally fine because now we're choosing to let the audience choose, or at least our patrons. We're letting them choose. So John and I will pick one. John will pick one. I'll pick one, and then we'll throw it out to a poll in the Post Wrestling Cafe for you guys to select.
So all of that plus Wrestling Dontaku review was up this past weekend with Bruce and Karen. They're back later this week with a Resurgence review, and I do want to make a note that Karen and Kate, our resident film critics, will be getting together for a free show later this month. They're going to review the Daphne episode of Dark Side of the Ring. So that is coming up near the end of May. $6 to support Post Wrestling over at postwrestlingcafe.com. That gives you 30 days to get the full view of what we are doing on the cafe, ad-free versions of this show, as well as the XL editions that come with 40 minutes of news tonight, plus your feedback, and that goes for Dynamite and SmackDown each week. Or you can go and just drop us the annual fee. Just sign up for the whole year, and you will be overdosing on John Pollock waiting and the post-wrestling crew.
Save a little bit of money and brag to the world that you are an annual Post Wrestling Cafe patron.
Could you ask for anything more to be breaking some ice at your favorite party?
I can't think of it. No.
PostWrestlingCafe.com. Check it out. And now we're going to check out Raw from Monday night in Omaha, Nebraska. 11,350, according to WrestleTix. According to Michael Cole, 11,558, a mere difference of 208 people.
I'm sure somebody was going up there, checking all the boxes, counting all the numbers, and somehow they found about 200 extra people.
We're getting dead close here. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso begins the show, entering through the crowd. He's surrounded by kids, and he's got his main event chain. Now, Wei, I know you've been following SmackDown. The best thing about SmackDown over this whole month you've been gone is Carmelo Hayes' new chain, Dre. This was no Dre.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's so ridiculous that I wonder if it's a rib of some sort. I wonder if this entire Miz team is a rib on Carmelo, including this Dre chain. Would you rock a Dre chain?
If you bought it for me, yes.
Well,
they should start selling these. Do you think people would buy these? People buy weightlifting belts, so I feel like you can get a little ambitious.
We've seen the Shawn Michaels championship belt. We've seen like they made championship belts for anything, okay? You slap a WWE logo on it, somebody will buy it. I guess my question is how much would you pay? How much would you sell a Dre chain for to a WWE audience?
Well, I mean, you're not selling real gold here. You're selling like cheap material. That's might
that
be tariffed
be priced,
from China.
Be priced as much as gold.
Yeah. They'd probably charge like $60 for this.
$60. Okay.
But you know what? If I'm WWE and I just put out those on location packages for front row tickets to SummerSlam and other events for $40,000 each, and they were scooped up, you know what? I'm feeling pretty confident that I could sell anything to these people.
I'd want Mark Shapiro to hand me one of these personally.
Okay, well, then you just up the price to at least 100.
All right.
Handcrafted. Jay is out. He said, he calls out Logan Paul, but instead Paul Heyman comes out, and he dragged himself to Omaha to speak to Jay. Jay says, "You want to talk to me after what you did to my family?" Jay says, "I warned my cousin and Punk about you." And Heyman then goes on to this crazy diatribe defending his actions. He had a dream while Reigns was still playing football, and this dream he made with his best friend. He built the bloodline for 5 years. What did Punk think I was going to do? Or what did Reigns think I was going to do? Give away all of the secrets to Punk? I took a stray dog and turned him into the tribal chief. We were the WWE champion, but Reigns blew it, losing to Cody at WrestleMania last year. Then Roman disappears and left me in the hands of Solo and the bloodline, put me through a table at Madison Square Garden. And when he returned, he didn't come to avenge me. He came for his Oolafala. Now, this was a very spirited promo. This tied a lot together. This promo was desperately needed right after WrestleMania. This felt so out of context for Jey Uso, who basically right after this says, "What does this have to do with me?" And Paul says, "Nothing."
It could be that they just forgot. Maybe they ran out of time.
While you're at it, Paul, can you explain why Cena joined with The Rock? Why don't you just check that one off the box, too? Like, this just felt so awkward that this was done without Punk, without Roman, and it was like, and it felt like 2 weeks too late.
2 weeks isn't that long.
It's
John.
Not.
At least not to me, because, like, the last time I spoke to you was, like, after WrestleMania, so this does kind of feel like it's the week after, so maybe my concept of time is
it. It wasn't too late. They could have done this at any time. It just felt like an odd placement to place all of Heyman's reasoning for, like, the giant turn at Mania.
Right. I am still glad we got it, though. Like, I thought, I mean, he sounded incredibly spirited delivering it, but I thought he delivered, like, good storyline justification for both of the turns. With Roman, it was a series of offenses, you know? Like, you had Heyman here take credit, basically, for giving Roman the championship. And Roman losing the championship was the first offense. Not coming to his aid after losing at WrestleMania 40 was the second offense, and more beyond that. And with Punk, it was kept very simple. Punk put me in a terrible position with my tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and that was enough to justify him turning on the both of them. And again, delivered with that sort of like Paul Heyman gusto, made it a very convincing argument.
So then he explains that he says that your title, it's all about power and control. Jay, you don't know how to wield that power. And you want to be champion. Seth needs to be champion. He needs that power and that control. So stage one was us joining together. Stage two is taking your title. But we're going to do a favor for you, Jay. You get to pick the night that Seth beats you for the title. Anytime, anywhere. And I was like, That's not how title opportunities are given. Jay would be like, "You got to go through a tournament or something." But no, he says, "Tonight, I will face you." And Omaha cheers this. They're like, "Wow, they're giving us a title match." And that would be our main event, as my graphic choice went up in smoke, at least half of it.
Anytime they announce like a big match like this out of the blue on TV, I think most of us who've watched wrestling long enough, I don't know if we necessarily meet it with like that sort of excitement. If you're live in attendance, it might be different. But for me, my immediate reaction is, okay, bullshit finish, right? And ultimately, that was kind of proven true tonight. But they gave you quite the match for it. And I'll say, I thought they delivered more of a substantial main event than I was even expecting. This was a big match, you know, between the two. One that I think we could have expected further down the line, you know, once they're done with this Logan Paul. Like, I could have even seen this for SummerSlam. But they gave you, like, a really substantial amount of it for tonight. So, Jay, I thought, you know, could have been easily swallowed up in a segment here against Paul Heyman on the microphone. But I thought, like, I love the simplicity of Jay's first response to Heyman's, like, very emotional promo. "Are you okay?" You know, it's like the verbal equivalent of like a Samoa Joe walk away spot. It made Jay look effortlessly cool and didn't rely on him to like have to compete with Heyman with that sort of same spirited promo. I also think like Heyman giving us that color with the story of Rollins being able to be he's the worthy one who can wield this power, whereas Jay, you can't. It continues the Jay Uso self-confidence character issues that I think was maybe the most interesting part about him heading into the Gunther match. So I thought they set up the main event really well tonight.
Penta against JD McDonagh was our first match of the show, and they go through the commercial break. JD hits his baseball slide but misses, crotching himself on the post. So Penta rallies the crowd. Balor jumps onto the apron to distract the referee. So Carlito grabs at Penta, and Carlito gets knocked down, and then it's Penta with a high cross to the floor on both JD and Carlito. Balor then yanks Penta off of the apron and gets caught by the referee, so he is ejected. And as the referee is dealing with them, we get another run-in. This one, it's Chad Gable appearing to send Penta off of the turnbuckle, but Penta then comes back, dives onto Gable. JD hits a jawbreaker, misses the moonsault, and Penta, overcoming all of these run-ins, hits the Mexican Destroyer in 10 minutes and 55 seconds. I think this was like almost trying so hard to convince you that they were going to beat Penta here, but he overcame everything and beats JD.
I mean, at this point, I think we've just come to expect at least one sort of House of Torture type of faction for every wrestling promotion in existence. And at the moment, it happens to be Judgment Day. So unfortunately, with these sort of matches, I just feel like these sort of things are done so often that it negates 80% of the match, because you know some sort of like screwy thing is supposed to come afterwards. So I couldn't really care much about most of what preceded the run-ins, because I knew the run-ins were going to be coming. JD McDonagh, I found a bit interesting here, because I think like they were kind of painting that injury as like this heroic moment. He finished the match, you know, despite like almost breaking whatever body part that he did.
Punctured his lung.
Yeah, they were celebrating it. So I expected him to come back to maybe a bit more of an elevation in his rank. And it hasn't really panned out that way. He is the guy in the Judgment Day to take all the pins. And I just found that somewhat interesting, because I did think the absence kind of did provide an opportunity for them to elevate him if they wanted to. And it doesn't seem like they do.
How do you feel Penta is faring so far into this run?
Really well. You know, I don't know. I don't know what sort of the audience has been feeling about him. Like, did you feel like he should have won at WrestleMania? Like, did they miss the moment, or do you think they're continuing on a decent trajectory?
No. If there was one I would be more critical of, I thought that Rey Fénix was the one that kind of came off. I think the idea was, you've got this story. It's like, we get Penta and Fénix, their WrestleMania matches. They get this big moment. But I do think for the fact that he was just going to be the stand-in for Rey and losing, I think it would have made a lot more sense to just put Dragon Lee into that role. Not that it was a killer for Rey Fénix. You know, they're both in fine roles right now, but I think like there will be that impetus to keep these two really special. Because you can lose that over time when you're just kind of slotted. But I mean, Penta is exceptionally charismatic, and I think that will take him far. And Fénix, as long as he is not just can reduce to a very, I hate to use the term, but to such a WWE style that I saw from him Friday on SmackDown, like, it is his style that will keep him unique. And I hope they do not beat that down as though that's like, those are negatives for Fénix, because he will just become a guy if that's their positioning for him.
Having Gable feud with Penta may potentially offer a chance to roll Fénix into it, you know, to continue that program, of course.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're bringing you three editions of Rewind Away, including an in-depth look at WrestleMania 32 from 2016, a 2003 edition of SmackDown featuring the Iron Man match between Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar, and a special patrons pick where you get to choose what John and Way review. MCU Later returns with a review of Thunderbolts. Pollock and Ting will sit down and talk. We've also got coverage of Wrestling Dontaku, Collision Course every Saturday night, and of course, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. $6 a month gets you in the door at postwrestlingcafe.com. Grayson Waller is shown with Adam Pearce, and then Theory walks in, and with that, Waller volunteers Theory for a singles match tonight, but he doesn't know who the opponent is, with Waller telling him it's a surprise. The recently retired Anthony Smith was shown. They were here in his hometown, and Austin Theory is waiting with Waller in the ring, and it's Sheamus returning. So Jeff Cobb watch continues.
I wasn't even thinking
had to vacate Cobb. Those tag belts and couldn't do Dontaku against Gota. Had to get him out of New Japan yesterday.
Right. Well, it's a long flight.
You're right. He might have had pets. Might have had to do a few trips.
You know, maybe he had to like pack up his bags. You know how much time that takes. Maybe he had to adjust to the jet lag. Of course, you know, it takes about a month to do that sometimes.
Maybe he's coming by boat.
I honestly wasn't even thinking Jeff Cobb for this, and I don't know if Jeff Cobb would have been a great choice for this. I don't.
I wasn't even like thinking it. It was more so me just inserting my joke here as we continue to just go week after week without Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. Well.
This
Nebraska,
is Sheamus.
Nebraska, Cobb would have been the perfect time.
Oh, they really, well, maybe Cobb missed the boat, literally, and WWE did figuratively here in Omaha. Mm. This is Sheamus' first match since March and first TV appearance since the Royal Rumble. So Theory is duped by Waller, and they reminded us that a few years ago, these two were feuding over the United States title. Oh, what a time to be alive. Mm. Sheamus hits a bunch of Irish curse backbreakers, applies the cloverleaf, and then Sheamus he grabs a fan in the front row to just mug for the camera, and Michael Cole jokes that it's John Gaborik. He's like, is that big? And we just go to break, where I would imagine most people watching this have no idea what he was talking about, but that's Michael Cole in 2025. He's probably on a high. He probably watched Marigold over the weekend. He probably saw Stardom last weekend. He's probably just loving wrestling right now.
I'm sure, yeah.
So Theory, who battled this guy competitively for the U.S. title a few years ago, is just out of his element. He's complaining to Waller, why did you do this to me? And then he is hit with the 10 beats, crowd's going wild, and then he gets murdered with the brogue kick, and Sheamus wins in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. So Sheamus has returned.
I really don't remember the last time that these two feuded over the U.S. title at all. So,
well, this guy was also the money. Both of them actually were Money in the Bank winners in the past.
Yeah, I guess
memorable ones.
It never felt out of character for me for there to be this discrepancy between like Austin Theory and I guess Sheamus. I did find it notable that like Sheamus, they've never really promoted him as this sort of like monster, you know, that somebody would be afraid of in this sort of like surprise setting. But I think it works now because Sheamus has built a lot of credibility for himself as this like strong style, WWE strong style type of like tough guy. And so to re-debut him in this way, I thought it worked. And it was a good way to re-debut him for mid-card. It wasn't the type of big meat match that I think we've come to know in Sheamus matches for, but the crowd was still quite engaged. So I would say Sheamus, to me, feels like he's sort of in the fun uncle role of his career, where he's not the main parental figure in your life. He's not the one to, I guess, both lift you nor discipline you, but he's someone you're always kind of happy to see whenever they're around infrequently. So he's enjoying, I'm sure, this moment.
So Dave Coulier gets the win over Austin Theory.
Cut it out.
Austin, they just out of nowhere announced Dominic and Penta for the IC title has been added to Backlash on Saturday. And JD is shown with the Judgment Day complaining about the match. And why was Gable out there? Was that your call? Looking at Balor. Dom says he'll take care of Penta at Backlash, but I miss Liv, who has gone off to film her movie. So I guess she's off doing this movie, and they're just going to keep these tag belts on Raquel and Liv during the filming of this movie. Guess they figured, you know what? Our division can withstand this. I think we're okay.
Not exactly a big division lately, and it's only gotten smaller over the past week.
Well, they just cut two teams, so yeah. Then Dominic complains about having his hands full. This is after AJ walks in. AJ is going to challenge the winner of Penta and Dominic for that belt. And Dom tells Balor to go handle AJ. And Balor seems put off by this demand, but then just laughs and says, I was just joking. Of course, I'll take care of AJ for you.
AJ didn't have a match on the show, but he did wrestle with his lines. I don't know if you managed to catch it on this recap.
Oh, I didn't.
He screwed up the word intercontinental, and he's not the first person to screw it up, okay? It is a bit of a mouthful, but it's just embarrassing hearing
AJ.
I'm
kicking myself for missing it.
You would love this, and I would have loved your recap of it. So it's okay.
I dropped the ball.
Maybe more to come with this, but like AJ screwed up the line intercontinental and had to kind of like catch himself saying like he's fumbling his words. And so he just basically does the line again. And I don't think that ever works out well, because at that point, it just makes this feel like it's a scripted interaction, which, I mean, it does anyway. Okay. But it made it sound like even more so. It's the equivalent of like botching a spot in a match and then just redoing the spot. So, it tells me that they might actually really do these live, you know, a lot of the time with these sort of backstage interactions. Because if this was not live and they taped this and they decided to air it, that would be pretty unforgivable.
Oh, I'm very annoyed with myself that I must have been just half watching this promo, because an AJ segment, this sounds like the best thing on Raw.
Hell.
Hell. Chad Gable is dealing with his nose. The New Day walk by, and basically they state that the War Raiders shouldn't be getting the next tag title shot. American Made should. And then Becky walks by them, and that was that. Becky comes out, and she argues with a non-existent chant of "You suck," saying, "I don't suck. You cheered me when I returned at Mania. Nobody cared about Bayley when I replaced her because I took out the garbage," and she proceeds to call her garbage over and over again. "But I also took out the recycling in Lyra. Less offensive than garbage, but still garbage." And she takes credit for Lyra having a fiance. Well, Lyra comes out. "You're the queen of recycling, Becky. Recycling the same old moves and tired old act for years. You had nothing to do with my success. You didn't make me. Becky, you went on a holiday and everyone got better. I made history, and I defended this title for more times than days you've shown up for work." The crowd's like, "Ooh. Yeah, you broke the glass ceiling, but you left broken glass behind for all of us to climb over." And Becky explains, "It's not my job to help everyone. I'm the greatest to ever do it. Sports Illustrated said so. And you will only be the moment after the moment." Lyra points out she was the first women's intercontinental champion and how this must get under Becky's skin. "Becky, you better like second place." And they get into a big fight and they're separated. Lyra gets free, attacks her again, and then a manhandle slam is stopped by Lyra and she hits Becky with the Nightwing and poses with her belt afterwards. So how did you feel Lyra came off? This program is mainly so far designed, like Cole said it as much, this is designed for Lyra to come out of the shell, which I think everyone personality wise see her being kind of trapped in. And I think this is trying to give her more mic time. Last week, I didn't think went that smoothly. How did you feel this follow up went?
Well, just even dating back to the turn itself, I think I pretty much expected these two to feud eventually coming off of that tag team, but I would have expected Lyra to be the one to go heel, because I think traditionally these types of people who might be in their shells, their personalities tend to come out more when they are a heel rather than a babyface, where they don't necessarily feel like they have to, you know, play nice to the crowd anymore. They could really kind of feel like they could be themselves. So I didn't necessarily expect Lyra to play this as a baby face, especially when you're going up against Becky Lynch, who I think is already combating like cool heel vibes, you know, with the way she was trying to steer the crowd at the beginning of this promo. I suck. Nobody said she suck. Nobody was saying that she suck.
No one was chanting this.
Where are these phantom I suck chants coming from? Anyway, but all that said, I do think Lyra, to me, like, she impressed me in the segment. She has a long way to go, especially like when she's in the ring against Becky Lynch, but she didn't drown. She sounded confident. She's somebody who doesn't have a natural charisma about her voice nor the way she speaks, but I thought like the confidence was there, and I think that is either through a lot of rehearsal, maybe some sort of mental preparation for all of this, but I thought the lines were good. I love the shattered glass ceilings line. Contrasting to that, I'm not as into like what I've seen from Becky Lynch in this heel run so far. I'm not as into this like voice that she's got, where she's just screaming at full force all the time, kind of sounding like almost like a Hulk Hogan delivery in you know, which is not necessarily like compliment in any sort of way. I also hated the promo here about recycling. You know, like, it felt like the type of promo that you would have heard on that NXT game show season, where they'd hand you a card and you're forced to cut a promo based on the word, and it felt like the word of the day was recycling. That's how kind of I don't expect any sort of blood feud or any sort of wrestling feud that feels serious to be based around recycling or garbage. And that's kind of what we got here. So I don't know if she was trying to make us laugh, but I don't think it necessarily fit the tone.
How many times do you think AJ Styles could say recycle right after the other?
You should pause this show.
I almost did. I don't want us to get flagged. So I considered that.
Okay.
Then we have Io Sky against Roxanne Perez, non-title. And I'll say that Io Sky, she has incorporated pretty much going back to you know, a couple weeks now. She does like a spot where she'll hit a move and she just like gets the crowd. It's like, cheer, cheer. And they do. And it just adds so much in the middle of these matches. And it's something that I think a lot in WWE you can rely on or you could utilize, because I mean, it was very evident in the main event tonight. It's like, so many of these audiences, they just want to get to the near falls and the big moves. And then this is awesome. But all the like the pre near fall stuff, it's really tough to get an audience into this. And it's pretty consistent in WWE.
It is a difference that I've come to since between watching like a WWE show and an AEW show. And not to say AEW, like AEW has crowds that react the same way. But by and large, I find like,
you're muted, Way.
Sorry, I hit a wrong button. I blame Simon for switching all this. No, but like, but by and large, like it feels like the meat of an AEW match, I kind of have to pay a bit more attention to. Whereas like WWE can be a lot more template based, and you kind of know like the spots that actually matter. But for Io, it really works, because the spots that she's, you know, telling the crowd to respond to tend to be really impressive. And yeah, she does a lot of very impressive stuff.
Like a big missile and do like a kip up. And, you know, yeah, it's stuff that naturally does get them going. And in this match, Perez just focused on the knee. And you did like teases like Io's knee buckling for the bullet train attack, and then went for the over the moonsault. And when Perez got out of the way, lands on the bad knee with her feet landing on the mat. And Perez capitalizes, hits a big dragon screw. And then they just do the fish out of water, where they're going for constant covers. It's back and forth reversals. And I love the ending where Sky just catches her on the last reversal at 10 minutes and 8 seconds. And Perez offers her hand afterwards, and Skye accepts. And then Perez leaves, and it's a plot because Julia jumps her from behind. Perez returns. It's 2-on-1. And they had already explained earlier in the show that Rhea is legitimately on a promotional tour in Australia and is not there. And then there's a super kick curb stomp combo that they lay out Io with.
I thought it was a great match. Some may disagree just given the main event on the show, but I thought this was my match of the night. I love the finish. You know, it's kind of somewhat unusual to see a finish come out of like this sort of like pinning combination. Usually that series of like near falls leads to like this sort of like double down standing ovation type of moment where you can clap for both participants. But in this case, it led to a finish and somehow provided the effect of protecting Roxanne in the loss, because they effectively conveyed that it was a toss up and that anybody could have won this match if, you know, if one more roll happened to occur, one more pinfall happened to occur. So I thought it was a really excellent match that continues to, like, with Io as champion, you know, not somebody known for like her promo, obviously, she has to get over, she has to define herself by great wrestling. And therefore this division with her at the top is now starting to become defined by great wrestling matches that can steal the show most nights. And I'm loving that. I'm loving the fact that it's different from like the Rhea Ripley run or like, you know, any other run that we've seen prior. And these matches have been great so far on TV.
And I think as time goes on, like, I know we're only 2 weeks removed from WrestleMania, but I mean, typically like a WrestleMania comes and goes and there's like one to two things that are going to stand out that you're going to remember from that Mania. And it feels like for this year, at least, like the main things are the Heyman turn joining Seth, a god awful main event on night two. And these women probably, like, for many having like the match of either night, but it's positioned as this was the big match this year. And I think those are the biggest takeaways that will stand the test of time for this Mania. And like legitimately like one of the better WrestleMania matches ever that the three had. Yeah.
And it paves the way perfectly for your talents like a Julia or Roxanne, you know, in this case, who fits perfectly with an Io Sky, or, you know, Stephanie Vaquer. You know, like this division is starting to fill up with like incredible world-class talents, and it could become like the draw of Raw.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world, no minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Otis takes on Rusev in Rusev's first match back. They just go at it. Neither are going off their feet until Rusev hits a spinning heel kick. And then Otis goes to the floor, throws Rusev over the desk, and they both end up colliding with the post, missing their target. And Rusev hits the Machka kick out of the corner, stomps the back, and wins with the accolade, in 6 minutes and 27 seconds. Tozawa jumps in to stand up to Rusev, but Rusev backs down. Tozawa turns his back, and he gets destroyed by Rusev, who returns powerbombing Tozawa on top of Otis, then drives Otis to the floor and hits another Machka kick, which at this point is just being called that kick by Michael Cole, and then another accolade as the fans boo this. Maxine is having a convulsion on the floor as Natalia has come down to console her as she is crying in her Warzone jacket. Did you catch this?
I did not. Like a classic.
The old red and black Warzone jacket.
Yes. Was she alive when WWE was called, when Raw was called Warzone?
Was Maxine Dupri born before 1997? Oh my God, she was born in May of 1997. She was born during the Warzone. Yes,
look at that. It's short, but like, you know, pretty classic like re-debut for Rusev here, using a giant and Otis as like sort of this like big punching bag, which I thought effectively showed you just he looked great. You know, Rusev looked great, very entertaining. Don't think he needs to spend that much more time with the Alpha Academy, and judging by this, I don't think he will. So I'd love to see him like inserted into like this meat division that WWE is going on with like a Sheamus or Bronson Reed, whatever he returns. You know, those would be fun matches. Gunther.
Did you notice any like ring rust for the 5 years he was off?
When he was stuck in the abyss?
The abyss, yeah.
Well, I don't know what the Abyss is like for a wrestler, but he did manage to redeem himself at some point, as Michael Cole told us.
Those eyes, yeah. My goodness. Pierce is in the ring to introduce Pat McAfee, followed by Gunther, and Pierce warns for both of them to keep this professional. Gunther was loudly booed. He says, "I won't do anything because unlike you and Michael Cole, I am professional." And he's drowned out by "you tapped out" chants. Pat calls Michael Cole the GOAT, a man who has only missed 3 shows in 28 years. Over that time, he's earned a right to have an opinion. And now I'm going to share my opinion. And he just praises Omaha for their football team, their stakes. It's a city of hard workers and dreamers, and thinks that he and Gunther, we had similar dreams because we both, despite coming from different places, grew up as fans of this. And we were put on earth to do this. But Gunther, you've been doing this for 20 years. You're jaded. This is no longer a dream. It's a job for you. Me, I get jacked up every time I enter one of these arenas. While you've been waltering off, I think was the term he used here, which I don't know is
what does
proper.
That mean?
I well, don't know.
I mean, I know what it means, but like, what does waltering mean?
I think he was creating a word here, and says he doesn't want it anymore. And you're going to do the same thing to me that you did with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso, overlooking me, because I'm going to show that this version of Gunther is soft. The whole crowd's chanting soft. Gunther says, "Did you enjoy your daughter's birthday last week?" I was like, okay, this is already starting great. "I bet it was a special day for you, and Saturday will be a special day for me, and you just got me in the mood for it. I will be more focused than ever. It's my first match since WrestleMania, and I promise you my full and undivided attention. I will maul you, I will choke you, and I will make you drop like a wet towel. And by only the grace of God will I lift my arms off your throat this Saturday, the main event of Backlash. Take a backseat, Randy and John Cena."
WrestleMania Night 3 is what I'm calling this. Okay?
Oh, my goodness. I thought both were great here. Pat is like really over the top with these, but it's like he really got the audience into this, and it's like he's trying to do like Dusty Rhodes. And
I know what you mean. Like, he comes across as a bit of a, hey, like, cut what you think a wrestling promo should sound like. You know, here, like, it sounds like a party trick, but it works, man. Like, in this setting, you know, in front of this crowd, he got the reaction that he wanted. He got the reaction out of me, okay? And I'm about maybe as jaded of a wrestling fan as Walter might be here. He sounded awesome, okay? And I thought he gave you a great argument here. Like, you are jaded. I still come into this looking at this as sort of like a dream, you know, setting, dream job for me all the time. You're not the hungry wrestler that you used to be. And I thought it really ultimately set the stage for a really pissed off Gunther response, and Gunther came across scary here. You know, I don't know if we've ever heard Gunther talk about God, okay, but like Gunther talking
if there's anyone who should have like religious based promos, it's Gunther.
Oh my God, he sounded amazing here. So I'm pumped for this match, you know,
in the name of the Father End of the Sun. I cannot wait. This guy should have had King Curtis Iaukea at his side. That would have been a dream pairing here. Do you see this as the natural avenue that somehow gets to Gunther and Bill Goldberg, as some have suggested?
What is natural about that? How do we get from Pat McAfee to Goldberg?
I mean, there's ways you can do it. Like, Pat takes such a beating and Goldberg comes to his aid.
What
like,
relationship do they have?
No, they played football. They're NFL brothers for life.
All people, all people who have held a football.
Well, you're gonna have the idea, like it's going to be the like the same deal. Like, Pat came to Michael Cole's aid. Now someone's got to come to Pat McAfee's aid. I think Pat needs to get like murdered in this match on Saturday.
The answer is yes. I mean, at some point in the year, we know Gunther and Goldberg will likely be a match. But what is the next big pay-per-view after this?
So I think they're going to be doing Saudi in late June. And then you've got 2 nights of SummerSlam. I would say those would be your candidates, I would think.
Right. Okay. So in that case, maybe you get Goldberg like even later if SummerSlam is the destination. If Saudi is the destination for Goldberg's last match, which it could be very possible, then maybe you get that interaction as soon as Backlash.
Then we had a statistic that the last time John Cena and Randy Orton had a singles match was February 7th of 2017 on SmackDown. That classic way.
SmackDown, really? 2017?
That's what this match board said. And then we got highlights of Breaking Point 2009 and their I Quit match. So,
man, I wasn't really young. I wasn't like coming of age during that time, so I hold zero fondness for that period. I kind of like dread anytime we have to review something from like the late 2000s, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're internally, it's weird. They're doing all the right things to make this match feel important, and I'm sure it's going to be a really hot atmosphere on Saturday, but I'm just like,
it reminds us how sick we were of this feud at that time. You know what I mean? I was excited for this, given the prospect that both were playing new characters. You were having a heel Cena versus a babyface Randy Orton. I really enjoyed the interaction that they had, you know, the last time. But listen, with limited Cena dates, you're kind of having to rely on like stock footage, right?
Next week on the show, we get AJ and Finn, War Raiders against American Made, and the tag match with Io Sky and Rhea Ripley against Roxanne Perez and Julia. Main event, Jey Uso, Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight title. I thought the first like half of this match was just dreadful. Like just a nothing happening match.
I found it tough to get into, again, just because I knew we weren't going to get anything substantial until either a run-in or just even, I don't know, just a finish at all.
Well, this started to escalate after Rollins early on in the match, he gets thrown over the desk and cuts his head, and they didn't go in close to really show the wound, but there's points where Rollins is touching his head and there is a significant amount of blood showing up. And then like 10 minutes later, he goes for this buckle bomb, and dude, it looks like the side of Jey Uso is just covered, like he's auditioning for the pit, and it's all from Seth's head. So I don't know if this guy needed stitches afterwards, but this was looked like a significant cut he had on his head. It was not visible, but the blood you could see at certain parts of the match. So he goes for this buckle bomb, and then he misses the frog splash, and this is where we just go into overdrive. Spear gets caught by the pedigree, and then Seth misses a stomp, and Jey applies the rear naked choke, which now has a name, way. The movie beat Gunther with! The movie beat Gunther with! I want John Anik to take this from the TKO family. The move he beat Gunther with.
Yeah.
And
as Helio Gracie designed it.
Yes. Exactly. He then lands the spear for a near fall. And dude, we went from just this like just nothing match to this is awesome. It's just like turning on a switch, and they just escalate this match. Jey headbutts Seth from the top. Braun gets involved, and this leads to the superplex Falcon Arrow combo, and Seth doesn't get all of this stomp, and they try to explain that as Jey kicks out. Sammy's music plays, and he pops out from the crowd attacking Braun, and Seth is distracted, gets hit by a super kick, a spear, and an Uso splash, but Rollins kicks out. Very good near fall here. Zayn is cheering on Jey with his taped up ribs when Braun comes back from the dead and sends Sammy into the land of the eternal. And boom, he just spears the hell out of this guy. And Jey goes to check on Seth. Braun, meanwhile, spears Jey while Heyman is distracting the ref. And Seth is setting up for the stomp. I thought they really structured this well, where you were believing that they were going to be able to give you a finish here. Mm-hmm. And then CM Punk's music hits and this place goes nuts as he comes out wielding a chair, takes out Braun, attacks Seth. So the match is thrown out and this crowd went insane for Punk. Huge chance as he stood with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso at the end of this. So it took a while for this to get going.
Did they ring the bell?
I did not hear the bell rung.
I didn't hear it either.
Yeah. Unless it was just too loud, but they just said it was out. And
I feel like they did that intentionally because they didn't want to end the show on a flat note. So therefore, the match is over. But
that might have been. I was going off of what Michael Cole said because, yeah, I did not audibly hear the bell. But yeah, this one kind of started off as pretty ho-hum for the first half of it, but it really did amplify. And you got the surprise appearance by Punk at the end and a rare post-show angle they did where Logan Paul showed up and knocked out Jey Uso that they have put the video out of, but this did not air on the broadcast. So it would seem as though they're holding off on Jey and Logan Paul maybe for Money in the Bank when they're in L.A. Rather than
happening. Well, we already have five matches so far.
We've got the five, and I think they look at between the McAfee match and Cena Orton, they're good for Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this was a match that I think most of us could determine would have ended in a bullshit finish, and it did. But it was way more substantial than I was expecting, and I thought they worked their asses off via the wrestling, via the booking, to convince you that this wasn't going to be a match with just a bullshit finish, and that you might have actually, would receive a clean finish of some sort. It was very entertaining by the end, you know, with mainly through, I think, every interference, like the Braun Breaker interactions, the Sami Zayn interactions, everyone made you think that it could have led to the finish. And Jey, I think the jury's definitely still out on whether he's capable of providing a compelling main event based mostly on his own merit. Because this is Seth Rollins, you know, who bats 1,000 when it comes to these sort of matches. But what Jey can provide that many others cannot is his connection to the audience, and an audience that really wants to see him win. So I thought that provided a really strong atmosphere tonight. All the shenanigans were really well done. Yes, it was a cop-out finish, but I think most of us expected that anyway. So I was ultimately very satisfied with the main event and really the show as a whole.
And listen, to this audience, I don't think they looked at it as a cop-out, because the trade-off was we got CM Punk and they were electric for that surprise at the end. So I thought the main event worked pretty well. And I think you've set up, with this post-match angle with Jey and Logan Paul, which Logan Paul in LA for a big title match does work, I think, a bit better. And you've got a month to build that up in theory. I guess they have also got Saturday night's main event in a few weeks as well. So
I could see it for that too. Well, can't you see it for Saudi even?
I don't think Saudi's till like the end of June. So, which they have not officially announced yet. That's the rumored Saudi show. But
okay.
You have both. You have several shows coming up that are all you do have to.
And what are some of the other directions you think we're coming out of this here? Can we do Punk Rollins again?
I think so. Yeah. I think.
Are they doing like a rubber ranch type of thing? Are they 1-1 to your recollection?
Well, no, because he lost the match on the Netflix debut, and then Seth won the 3-way pinning Reigns. So he is not, and they had the cage match. They had the cage match at Madison Square Garden as well, which Punk won.
Okay, so in terms of 1-on-1 matches, they are, what's their record?
I don't think, Seth hasn't beaten him in a singles match yet, I don't think.
Okay. All right, so.
I see them doing a third one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, this time maybe Seth actually wins. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Seth beat him in March.
Was that the cage match?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, he won that match.
So they're 1-on-1. So this will be.
Oh, right. Because that's when Reigns came and it made the surprise return.
Yes.
And it led to. That's right. That's what they did.
Okay. So I can see a rubber match for Punk versus Rollins. Sammy and Breaker, potentially.
That was the indication I got from this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Jey and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And you can spread those out over those shows. Like Punk and Reigns, or Punk and Rollins, you would think that's Money in the Bank?
Or TV, like the others have been?
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. I thought overall, like this was, I thought a fairly good episode. You know, in terms of a go-home episode, there, like the big segment to build up Backlash was Pat McAfee and Gunther. Like really your whole main event, like none of it was sending you towards back. Like none of these people are involved on Backlash on Saturday.
Right.
So,
right. I imagine SmackDown to be the one where you get most of that push. We are getting Lyra versus Becky Lynch.
Yes, they did do that as well. And they did set up Dominic and Penta, but, yeah, we'll get the big segment is Cena appearing on Friday's SmackDown to send that one in. And they're, they've moved over 15,000 tickets for that show on Saturday. So it's, but there you have it. That's Raw. Mm-hmm. Good show. Good return show to come back to.
Personally, I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was a good combination of good wrestling and strong promo work, both from Paul Heyman and Jey Uso in his limited response. I thought the Gunther Pat McAfee segment was really well done. And in terms of wrestling, the main event was a very good main event. And I thought it was Io Sky versus Roxanne Perez that actually was my match of the night. So all in all, I thought it was an entertaining show.
All right. As has this been an entertaining show?
This has been okay.
Has it been? Fine. Okay. Well, we have a good place to
the cafe edition, the XL edition. That's really good.
That's where all the fun happens. And that's where we're heading now. So thanks to everyone on the YouTube channel. Like and subscribe here on the YouTube channel. That will make Waiting a very happy man, or else he won't come back. Okay.
So get us to 20,000 subscribers. That's all I've ever wanted in my life.
No, 20K really. Ting. Okay. That's our goal. So get us up there. Cost you nothing. And we will be back here on Wednesday, right after Dynamite, to chat about that show, their first of two nights in Detroit. So we're heading on over at postwrestlingcafe.com as we are going to be heading on over to check out your feedback.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.